The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. Chapter 1. The Artist and the Sitter. The studio was filled with the rich smell of roses. The light summer wind touched the trees in the garden. The heavy smell of the lilac and the more delicate perfume of the pink thorn blossoms came through the open door. Lord Henry Wotton was lying on the sofa and smoking. He enjoyed the honey sweet and honey-colored blossoms. Now and then the fantastic shadows of birds from the long silk curtains made him think of Japanese painters who had expressed the beauty of the motion. Beyond the soft sounds of the garden, he could hardly hear the noise of London. In the center of the room, near the upright easel, stood the full-length portrait of a young man of extraordinary personal beauty. In front of it, some little distance away, was sitting the artist himself, Basil Hallward. As the painter looked at the portrait, a smile of pleasure passed across his face, but he suddenly started up and, closing his eyes, placed his fingers upon the eyes. It seemed he was afraid to awake some curious dream. "It is your best work, Basil, the best thing you have ever done," said Lord Henry. "You must certainly send it next year to the best art gallery in London." "I don't think I shall send it anywhere," he answered. "No, I won't send it anywhere." Lord Henry looked at him in surprise through the thin blue rings of smoke. "Not send it anywhere? My dear fellow, why? Have you any reason? What strange people you painters are. You do anything in the world to have a reputation. As soon as you have one, you seem to want to throw it away. It is silly of you, for there is only one thing in the world worse than being talked about. That is not being talked about. A portrait like this would set you far above all the young men in England. It will make the old men quite jealous, if old men can feel any emotion at all." "I know you will laugh at me," he replied, "but I really can't exhibit it. I have put too much of myself into it." Lord Henry stretched himself out on the sofa and laughed. "Too much of yourself in it? Upon my word, Basil, you don't look like him at all. Your strong face and your coal-black hair, and this young, beautiful boy, who looks as if he was made out of ivory and rose leaves. Why, my dear Basil, well, of course you have an intellectual expression and all that. But beauty, real beauty, ends where an intellectual expression begins. Intellect destroys the harmony of any face. The moment one sits down to think, one becomes all nose, or all forehead, or something horrible. Look at the successful men, how terrible they are. Except, of course, in the church. But then, in the church, they don't think. Your mysterious young friend, whose name you have never told me, but whose picture I really enjoy, never thinks. I'm sure of that. He is some brainless, beautiful creature who should be always here in winter, when we have no flowers to look at. No, Basil, you are not like him." "You don't understand me, Harry," answered the artist. "Of course I am not like him. I know it. Indeed, I should be sorry to look like him. You don't believe me. I am telling you the truth. The ugly and the stupid enjoy the life in this world. They can watch the life go on. They live as we should all live, quiet and happy. You, Harry, or me, or Dorian Gray, we all suffer for what the gods have given us, suffer terribly."
"Dorian Gray? Is that his name?" asked Lord Henry, walking across the studio towards Basil Hallward.
"Yes, that is his name. I didn't want to tell it to you."
"But why not?"
"Oh, I can't explain. When I really like people, I never tell their names to anyone.
I have grown to love secrecy. It seems to be the one thing that can make modern life mysterious. The ordinary thing becomes wonderful if one only hides it. When I leave town now, I never tell my people where I am going. If I did, I would lose all my pleasure. I suppose you think me foolish about it.
Not at all, answered Lord Henry. Not at all, my dear Basil. You seem to forget that I am married, and the one good thing of marriage is that it makes a lie necessary for both. I never know where my wife is, and my wife never knows what I am doing. When we meet, we do meet sometimes, when we go out together, we tell each other the most absurd stories with the most serious faces. My wife is very good at it, much better, in fact, than I am. But when she finds me out, she makes no row at all. I sometimes wish she would, but she just laughs at me.
I hate the way you talk about your married life, Harry, said Basil Hallward, coming towards the door that led into the garden. I believe that you are really a very good husband. You are an extraordinary person. You never say a moral thing, and you never do a wrong thing. Your cynicism is simply a pose.
Being natural is simply a pose, cried Lord Henry, laughing, and the two young men went out into the garden together. The sunlight came through the shiny leaves. After a pause, Lord Henry looked at his watch.
I am afraid I must be going, Basil, he said, and before I go, I want you to answer a question.
What is that? Said the painter, looking at the white daisies among the grass.
You know quite well.
I do not, Harry.
Well, I will tell you what it is. I want you to explain to me why you won't exhibit Dorian Gray's picture. I want the real reason.
I told you the real reason.
No, you did not. You said it was because there was too much of yourself in it.
Now that is childish.
Harry, said Basil Hallward, looking him straight in the face, every portrait that is painted with feeling is a portrait of the artist, not of the sitter. It is not he who is revealed by the painter. It is rather the painter who reveals himself. The reason I will not exhibit this picture is that I am afraid that I have shown it, the secret of my own soul.
Lord Henry laughed.
And what is that? He asked.
Oh, there is really very little to tell, Harry, answered the painter, and I am afraid you will hardly understand it.
Perhaps you will hardly believe it.
Lord Henry smiled and picked up a pink daisy from the grass.
I am quite sure I shall understand it, he replied, looking at the little flower.
I can believe anything, even quite unbelievable.
The wind shook some blossoms from the trees. A grasshopper began to sing its song by the wall, and like a blue thread, a long, thin dragonfly flew on its light brown wings. Lord Henry felt as if he could hear Basil Hallward's heart beating, and wondered what was coming.
The story is simply this, said the painter, after some time. 2 months ago, I was invited to Lady Brandon's. You know we poor artists have to appear in society from time to time. Just to remind the public that we are not wild people. With an evening suit and a white tie, as you told me once, anybody can get a reputation. Well, after I had been in the room about 10 minutes, I suddenly felt that someone was looking at me. I turned round and saw Dorian Gray for the first time. When our eyes met, I felt that I was growing pale. A curious sense of terror came over me. I knew that I had come face to face with someone whose personality could absorb my whole nature, my whole soul, my very art itself. I did not want any influence in my life. You know yourself, Harry, how independent I am by nature. I have always been my own master, till I met Dorian Gray. Then, but I don't know how to explain it to you, I felt that something terrible was going to happen
I grew afraid and decided to leave the room. The next moment I ran across Lady Brandon. "You are not going to run away so soon, Mr. Hallward," she said to me, so I could not escape from her. She brought me up to royalties and nobles. She spoke of me as her dearest friend. I believe some of my pictures had made a great success at the time, at least had been talked about in the penny newspapers, which is the 19th century standard of immortality. Suddenly I found myself face to face with that young man. We were quite close, almost touching. Our eyes met again. I asked Lady Brandon to introduce me to him. It was simply inevitable. I am sure of that. Dorian told me so afterwards. He, too, felt that we would know each other. "And how did Lady Brandon describe this wonderful young man?" asked his companion. "Oh, something like, 'Charming boy, poor dear mother and I were close friends. Quite forget what he does. Afraid he doesn't do anything. Oh, yes, plays the piano. Or is it the violin, dear Mr. Gray?" We couldn't help laughing, and we became friends at once. Laughter is not at all a bad beginning for a friendship, and it is the best ending for one, said the young lord. Hallward shook his head. "You don't understand what friendship is, Harry. Tell me more about Mr. Dorian Gray. How often do you see him?" "Every day. I couldn't be happy if I didn't see him every day. He is absolutely necessary to me." "How extraordinary! I thought you would never care for anything but your art." "He is all my art to me now," said the painter. "He is much more to me than a model or a sitter. I know that the work I have done since I met Dorian Gray is good work, is the best work of my life. But in some strange way I see things differently. I think of them differently. The harmony of soul and body, how much that is! We, in our madness, have separated the two, and have invented a realism that is vulgar. Harry, if you only knew what Dorian Gray is to me." "Basil, this is extraordinary. I must see Dorian Gray." Hallward got up from the seat and walked up and down the garden. After some time, he came back. "Harry," he said, "Dorian Gray is just a motive in art. Perhaps you will see nothing in him. I see everything in him." "Then why won't you exhibit his portrait?" asked Lord Henry. "It's my secret. Dorian doesn't know about my feelings. He will never know anything about it. But the world can guess it, and I don't want anybody to see what was going in my heart. My heart will never be put under their microscope. There is too much of myself in the thing, Harry. Too much of myself." "I think you are wrong, Basil, but I won't argue with you. Tell me, is Dorian Gray very fond of you?" The painter thought for a few moments. "He likes me," he answered after a pause. "I know he likes me. As a rule, he is charming to me, and we sit in the studio and talk. But sometimes he is horribly thoughtless and seems to take a real pleasure in giving me pain. Then I feel, Harry, that I have given away my whole soul to someone who treats it as if it were a flower to put in his coat, a flower that he can enjoy for a summer's day and forget the next one." "Days in summer, Basil, are too long," said Lord Henry. "Perhaps you will be tired sooner than he will. It is a sad thing to think of, but genius lasts longer than beauty. That's why we want to get education. In the wild struggle for existence, we want to have something that lasts long. So we fill our minds with rubbish and facts in the silly hope of keeping our place. The well-informed man, that is the modern ideal. And the mind of the well-informed man is a dreadful thing. I think you will be tired first. All the same, someday you will look at your friend, and he will seem to you to be a little out of drawing. The next time, you will be cold and indifferent." "Harry, don't talk like that. As long as I live, Dorian Gray will be important to me. You can't feel what I feel. You change too often. Ah, my dear Basil, how unkind you are. And Lord Henry began to smoke a cigarette. How pleasant it was in the garden, and how wonderful other people's emotions were. Much more exciting than their ideas. He turned to Hallward and said, My dear friend, I have just remembered. Remembered what, Harry? Where I heard the name of Dorian Gray. Where was it? Asked Hallward. Don't look so angry, Basil. It was at my aunt Lady Agatha's. She told me she had discovered a wonderful young man, Dorian Gray. But she never told me he was good-looking. She said that he had a beautiful nature. So I decided that he was a creature with spectacles, thin hair, unpleasant face, and huge feet. I wish I had known it was your friend. I am very glad you didn't, Harry. Why? I don't want you to meet him. You don't want me to meet him? No. Mr. Dorian Gray is in the studio, sir, said the servant coming into the garden. You must introduce me now, cried Lord Henry, laughing. Dorian Gray is my dearest friend. He has a simple and a beautiful nature. Your aunt was quite right in what she said of him. Don't spoil him. Don't try to influence him. Your influence would be bad. What nonsense you talk, said Lord Henry, smiling, and taking Hallward by the arm, he led him into the house.